everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. It is officially, we're entering week five of the NFL now. I can't believe how fast this is going, but we are off of a crazy win on Sunday Night Football in the city of New York against the New York Jets. And I guess I should say New Jersey because technically they're in New Jersey, right? But
that's so weird.
But yeah, so I'm happy the Chiefs got a win. It was a struggle. It was a race to the finish line, but we ultimately got it done. So I'm proud of our team. But I'm your host, Lexi.
I'm Chrissy. This is Callie, who's apparently joining us today.
Chrissy's cat.
My cat.
I'm Jody. Hey, y'all. All right, so let's kind of get into some topics around the league because week four was pretty interesting. And I think there were three games that kind of stood out the most to us. So let's go ahead and start with Dolphins and Bills. Very interesting game. The Dolphins, of course, had that huge week two victory huge week three victory. And in week four got a little bit humbled, which was nice to see. What are y'all thoughts about that game?
I was surprised by the outcome of that Bills-Dolphins game. I expected it to be much more evenly matched. I'm not saying that the Dolphins defense is anything up to, you know, the strength of the Bills defense, but I guess I just didn't expect it to be such a blowout. Like, that really surprised me. But, you know, as we've said here in the past, like, there are ways to slow down the Dolphins offense. People did it to us and, you know, it worked for a while. So I think people are kind of starting to figure out, okay, if we play those two high safety looks, like, maybe we can slow them down. And what do you know?
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was going to be more of like a shootout, and it started off as a shootout. It was like 14-14 and team, like, they were both offenses were going crazy. And then the Dolphins defense just forgot that Stephon Diggs existed and allowed him to get three touchdowns. And their run game. I'm actually impressed by the Dolphins run, or why am I confusing these teams right now? The Bills run game this season with Cook on their side. So I think he's doing a phenomenal job for them. They've needed that running game aside from Josh Allen, because Josh Allen, he can do what he needs to do, but he's your quarterback, so you can't be playing like that all the time.
Right.
So I'm glad they figured out their run game a little bit, it seems like. And it was a dominant performance by the Bills. I think people had it being a really close game, and it probably should have been closer, but for whatever reason, the Dolphins could not figure it out defensively.
Yeah.
And we've said that for a few weeks now, that we are not convinced on their defense. So I'm not totally surprised, but I am impressed by the Bills right now. I think they're doing a great job just across the board. So this is how the Bills do early on. So we'll see if it lasts throughout the season, but that's kind of my thoughts right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think everybody knew that this was a high-scoring game, so I think everybody knew this was going to come. The Dolphins are really good. Like, even though I think it took us finally seeing them go against a contender to see who they really are as a team, it took them actually going against a decent defense. And, I mean, that defense is still missing Von Miller, so that kind of tells you a little bit about the identity of the Bills and who they're going to be in the future. I hate the Bills, but they have been great through the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, Josh minus that first week, you know, where they were
great,
but
yeah, for sure. I mean, Josh Allen has been good. Like, you have to give credit where credit is due. And I mean, I still think that Dolphins defense is going to be very dynamic throughout the whole entire season. So, I mean, you see what it's like when they go against somebody that's not great, and you see what it's like when they go against a really good team, or what's supposed to be a really good team. Like Lexi said, let's see if they can hold this up through the rest of the season. But I mean, it was a great show. Like, it for sure was a great show. I didn't expect them to kind of lose it there in that back half of the game. I thought they were going to continue to hang with them just because.
I did too.
But hey, it is what it is. I will say, though, one thing that I remember saying in the middle of the game is, I know that they always talk about, like, how Tua is this most accurate quarterback. Literally, Tyreek Hill had to jump, like, 2 or 3 feet every single time to get the ball. So I don't know if anybody else paid attention to that, but, like, it's not like he was – I just remember Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball directly in his chest every single game. And Tyreek was like jumping and reaching for like his life to get the ball.
And that really puts him in a lot of danger.
It puts him in a lot of danger. And I mean, if the safety or the corner is playing their route correctly, then they can go ahead and pick him off for that. So, I mean, I just think that's something to pay attention to going forward.
Because for sure.
I don't know about how accurate. I mean, he's catching the ball, I guess, but. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're able to take Tyreek Hill out of the game, it completely changes their offense. And I just feel like the Broncos was just such a fluke game for them.
The Broncos suck.
I mean, they suck for sure. They barely beat the Bears, but I feel like if you are able to take out Tyreek, like that has to be your main kind of goal. I will say that Achane, I don't know how you say his last name. They're running back on the Dolphins. He is really good. And the duo of him and Mostert, they are so fast and so crazy. So if you can kind of limit them to and Tyreek, the Dolphins, they're beatable. You just have to know exactly the way to play them on defense. And the Bills absolutely did that. So
You got to get pressure on Tua. He can't hold on to the ball. The longer he holds on to the ball, the deeper he's going to go. So if you can
get and the further separation Tyreek's going to get, you've got to make him get rid of the ball quick.
Exactly. Yeah. Got to get some pressure on him. And then, you know, he'll probably throw a pick because that is also what Tua is known for. Let's get into this next game, which I think was actually kind of shocking for a lot of people. Bengals Titans. Now, we know that the Titans are really good.
Titans are a tough team, man. They're a tough team
defensively. I mean, Derrick Henry is a monster. You know what
I mean? He can do it all.
And you know what they know how to game plan against the AFC specifically. So let's kind of get into that game because Derrick Henry went off 22 for 122, which is kind of insane.
And he threw a touchdown.
Yeah, and he threw a touchdown.
So, I mean, if that kind of tells you anything about your job, you're talking about how bad the Bengals are first.
Can we say that Derrick Henry and Joe Burrow have the same amount of touchdown passes for the season?
Because that's beautiful.
Yeah, tell my fantasy team that.
That's
great.
Beautiful.
I will say, like, I don't know what is going on with the Bengals. They are the same team as last year, except, you know, they brought in Orlando Brown Jr. Hope that's, you know, y'all seen how that's working out for them. Chiefs fans are not shocked. I'm sure Ravens are not shocked. Ravens fans.
No. That's what's funny about Chiefs and Ravens fans is we can all bond over this.
Yeah, we're bonding over the fact that Orlando Brown Jr. is looking horrific out there for them. It's not like I want him to do poorly, but like we are seeing the pressure that a not healthy Joe Burrow is under with their left tackle, his blindside tackle, not being able to protect him.
Yeah.
And right. I mean, it's shocking how poorly they're doing. Like it was not on my bingo card that the Bengals were going to start 1-3 and just look as bad as they've looked. Like they're supposed to have one of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL, one of the best wide receiver quarterback duos, whatever you want to call it.
I mean, they got the best NFL. In the league. Like that trio is the best trio in the league.
And like guys, like there's not a lot of positives coming out of those Bengals games. Like, you know, like I try to stay fairly positive. Y'all know that. Anyone watching knows that I'm one of the most, you know, I try to be one of the most positive people out there when it comes to the Chiefs football, but if I were a Bengals fan right now, I would be having a really hard time finding like a positive coming out of these games. Like you're being held to 3 points. You're not scoring touchdowns. Like what are you looking like? I don't know. They're in a world of trouble right now. This is not good for Bengals at all.
No. That Joe Burrow injury is nasty. That calf strain, whatever's happening, you can clearly tell it's affecting the way that he plays football. He's not stepping back as confident. He's putting so much pressure on his other leg and not his drop back leg, I guess his back leg. You can see that it's kind of causing him to panic. And the fact that he's taking so many sacks on top of already having this injury, I fully believe that if Joe Burrow was a Chief, which is crazy to say, I know for a fact he would not have played last week. He probably would not have went back in the game after he took that hit. And
not at this point in the season. Maybe if it's the playoffs or something and it's like, you know, this is it. But at this point in the season,
they're gonna lose healthy. I mean, they're going to lose at least 4 or 5 games this season. Like, yeah. That's going to happen. But the fact that, you know, you still have a lot of tough games coming ahead and your quarterback is not getting time to rest and to be healthy, it's truly affecting the game.
Yeah.
It's absolutely affecting the game. And he doesn't look like himself. And part of Joe Burrow is his shiftiness and his way to, like, escape the pocket and his way
very slithery.
Very Joe Cool, right? That's what they call him. And Joe Scheisty. And he gets out of that pocket and he can avoid some of those sacks. But with his injury, I feel like it's not helping him do that at all. And so you're seeing a different side of him.
Yeah. And if you have an O-line to protect you when you're injured like that, like, great. Then, you know, there's not as much pressure put on you. But when your O-line is causing you to have to run for your life or try to escape when you can't, like, you're not doing your team any favors at all.
No. And you know, what's weird is, like, I feel like Ja'Marr Chase week after week has been like, I want Joe Burrow to sit. I want him to sit for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And we can hopefully get something together and then let him play if they can make the playoffs. I don't know at this point. I mean, we're at week five now.
It's all dependent on if Joe Burrow can be healthy.
Yeah.
They are definitely a playoff team. They are definitely a playoff contender. But if they don't get the time to get healthy, I mean, their next few games, they got Cardinals, Seahawks, Niners, Bills, Texans, Ravens, Steelers. So, I mean, like, they are going
to be. It's not easy schedule.
No, because some of those teams are better than.
Yeah. So if they were going to rest him, they should have gave him this past week. And they should have gave him this week with the Cardinals coming up. Because every game after that is going to be like, you're going to have to be mobile. You're going to have to get around. Yeah. You're definitely going to have to figure out another option.
And they have an early bye. So why not give them those couple of games? Take the early bye. Give them like a good 3 weeks. Let them heal as much as possible. Get a lot of physical therapy, whatever they need to get done. And then take on the back half of your schedule with a healthy quarterback or at least an 80, 90% quarterback. Because what we're seeing is not 89% Joe Burrow, you know?
They have a tough schedule. And, you know, I feel like the Cardinals, people were not expecting them to be like a fighter team this season.
Either with Houston. I don't think anyone was expecting Stroud to go out there.
Those would be tougher games for them than they were even expecting.
That they're feeling their season and they're like, oh, yeah, that's right.
And
they are through 3.5 quarters.
And then they have the Niners. The Niners are going to demolish them if they're playing.
They look good.
So, I don't know. I don't know what to think about the Bengals right now. It is not what I was expecting. Mm-mm. But if they don't get their crap together, they're not even going to be in the playoffs. And there's
great
that make a case for themselves.
I love that they're 1-3. 1-3 is their favorite thing in life to say and to speak about. And it's football gods giving
so true.
I hate that Joe Burrow is hurt. That really sucks.
Yeah, that does suck.
But like,
we don't want him to be hurt.
That is coming back for y'all. Maybe, just maybe, y'all shouldn't talk as much crap as y'all have been talking.
Well, they
need some help for that O-line so Joe Burrow can stay in the game. Because
the leader of their fan base loved to say that Mahomes' injury was fake. So,
oh, yeah.
Last season.
Well, I'm just saying they better get some chip help for Orlando Brown Jr. or Joe Burrow is going to be coming off of the ground forever. And that sucks because nobody wants to see an unhealthy Joe Burrow. Like, no. Give me the guy who I know is a dog. Like, be smart out there, y'all. Like, go let that man heal up so he could come out and.
Yeah, as much as I don't like Joe Burrow, I respect his game and how great of a football player he is. Like,
for sure.
You want him to be healthy because you want to play the best of the best, right? So, Bengals, get Joe Burrow healthy so you can have him for the back half of the season. Make the smart decision. Put him first. He's your franchise quarterback you just paid a crap ton of money to. Let him rest.
He's playing though, because they gave him so much money, and it's like,
I know, but
right now you're their franchise quarterback for the next 4, 5, 6 years.
Yeah, you just don't want a calf injury to turn into like an Achilles. You know, you don't want that to happen, because good lord. So,
all right, let's think into this last game. Eagles Commanders, which was very spicy.
Fourth quarter, that was a great game.
Yeah,
Sam Howell is good. I want people to start giving him respect.
Honestly,
he's played very good these last few weeks. And I think, you know, him with Eric Bieniemy working together to create whatever this offense is going to be, it has looked very good so far through 4 weeks. Yeah. Now, they're only 2-2, but I mean, that's a lot better than some teams that are 1-3 and 0-4. So. Yeah.
I was expecting it to be a good game. I was not expecting overtime. But I really do think that Eric Bieniemy is going to do some wonderful, wonderful things with that offense. And the fact that they could take on, I consider Philly a heavyweight, you know, they're one of the best teams in the NFL, definitely probably the top team in the NFC. To be able to go up to them and take them on the way they did, that was a fun game to watch. Like, it was just, I loved having no stake in it. It was just entertaining football. And just props to the Commanders for taking on Philly and going down to the last second with them. That's
putting up a fight. And you know, yeah. I feel like Philly has not looked like themselves fully.
They've kind of been like us. Like, they're still fine.
Right.
But they're just not like flashy like they have been.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
I definitely believe that team will get there. They're healthy right now, too.
Yeah.
I mean, and even though they don't look like – it's hard to say they don't look like themselves when A.J. Brown went 9-475.
Yeah. They're not as flashy. You know, they're not as flashy.
Like, and then – I definitely hear what you're saying, and I get it. They're slowly kind of getting in sync, just like the Chiefs and some other teams, I think, who are still knocking some rust off. I will say, though, the Commanders need to get that O-line together.
I know.
We've got to kill Sam Howell.
Although the Eagles' D-line is insane.
They are so good.
They are very much insane. But I mean,
unless they're slippery grass, that only affects them. So,
right.
But, yeah, I think, you know, the Eagles and the Chiefs were both coming off that Super Bowl, right? And so I think both teams are finding it's taking a little bit longer to get quite in sync, just like we were. But I think that's going to make the best push for your playoff and Super Bowl run later on.
Facing adversity this early on is definitely a blessing in disguise. If you can come out on top of that adversity, you're going to learn a lot more than if you just played a bunch of easy games and then show up to the playoffs.
And it's like Mahomes said, it's like you need to win ugly in order to make the best games count, right?
Yeah, you have to find the ways to win.
Ugly games.
He said you win ugly games. You got to win tough games. You got to win good games to win the Super Bowl.
To win the Super Bowl, yeah. You need all kinds of it. So we're just going to accept that, right?
Ugly wins still count as wins.
Yeah.
Got to go ahead and use that to transition talk to recap Jets Chiefs from last week. Yeah. So kind of like Lexi just said, Patrick in his presser, that's how he opened his presser up. You got to win ugly games, you got to win good games, but they all get you Super Bowl wins. So, I mean, we know that this game was ugly, right? I projected us to win this game by at least 10 or 14. So to win by only 3 was very interesting. I think that the Chiefs Zach Wilson definitely outplayed Patrick Mahomes. And a lot of
people had the game of his career. Yeah.
He balled out and went.
Unfortunately.
So, I mean, I guess it's obvious to talk about the 17-0 first quarter. Patrick also acknowledged, like, starting off that hot was kind of weird for him. He's not used to just coming out the gate and being starting so hot and then kind of regressing the way that they did. So his presser was very interesting after that game. What were y'all thoughts about?
23-20. I would say this game reminded me a lot of the Denver Broncos game last season when we went up big and then Patrick started throwing interceptions and then Broncos came back. It was the same vibe. Like, we went up and it's almost
27-0.
We got so comfortable. And you can even see that with Patrick's throws. Like, he started just like lofting them and there was no zip on the ball.
No.
And I was just like, what is Patrick doing? Like, that's how he throws a football. Like, he had that one beautifully lofted ball and it was great. But then it's like his passes just kept lofting and then there was no
air. Too much air under it.
Yeah, way too much air. And then it's like, we just kind of like, I think we got too comfortable because it was going so well and it was 17-0 in the first quarter. It's hard to be like, oh yeah, this game, like, it's hard to keep your head in it when you go like that in the first quarter, right? And I honestly think that the guys kind of lowered their gates a little bit, lowered their defenses, and just kind of were like, all right, this is going to be a game like Chicago. We can go out, do whatever we want. And unfortunately, the Jets have a fantastic defense, and their D line was putting a ton of pressure on Patrick. So I'm not concerned about this game. And I know a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, like the world is ending. Like, we only beat the Jets 3. Here's the thing, guys. The Jets have one of the better defenses in the NFL. It was their first probably the real best defensive challenge.
They're the best defense we probably went against this season.
Yeah, so far, right? Yeah. So they're the best defense we've faced so far this season. And our offense was doing great until we kind of got a little too comfortable. And I'm not saying the Jets didn't make adjustments, because it was obvious they did.
Yeah.
However, to me, knowing that we went in there and we were doing so well to start, and then we just kind of, you know,
Patrick gets bored, and it's very clear.
Yes. It's like we got bored. Like, oh, another really easy game, 2 weeks in a row. Like,
that's what it felt like. You can see it in his body language, the way that he is just on the field.
Yeah.
He gets bored.
But I just think it's frustrating, because it's like, I understand getting bored, but like, you are facing one of the best defenses in the entire NFL. Mm-hmm. And he did say, he's like, what did he say? What was the word he used? Like, it's like you said, it's the same thing against the Broncos defense last year, where he just like took advantage of what he was getting and was kind of being lazy with it, I guess.
Yeah. So it's like, you didn't have to think about it.
Yeah. He wasn't challenged, like, which is unfortunate, because he wasn't challenged. And because he was kind of being lackadaisical, he threw a pick. And if you know Patrick Mahomes, he has a very bad tendency of getting in his head. Once he is in his head, once he does something wrong, he does not know how to get out of it. I think that's something that we've seen consistently from him over the last 6 seasons. When he gets in his head, he doesn't know how to snap it. And I remember after he threw that first pick, I was like, now, Patrick.
Oh, he said he gets greedy.
That's on me. He took it. And then you've seen him start to kind of force.
Yeah,
that weren't there, which led to the second turnover.
So it was that momentum shift.
That's what he said. The word was greedy. He said he got greedy, and that's exactly what he said. Like you said in the Broncos game last season, he got greedy.
He said it before too.
Yeah. So that's just what he did, and he got greedy, and he thought he could make. And you saw that side come out of him, like. I think it was a pass. It was to Noah Gray, right? And it was like completely short and intercepted. That was the first interception.
Was that the one where he goes, throw the effing ball?
mouth
that to himself. After,
and he's just like, I know I threw that short. He like looked up. He's like, I know. That was like.
This game, and that was frustrating. Like, he knows that he's doing.
He knows he's doing it. So I'm like, why are you
doing
it?
He's still doing it.
This commenter is saying he has one of these games every single season, right? He gets a little greedy, he gets a little, you know, lackadaisical with his throws, with his progressions, with whatever. And you know what? Another way to look at this game is this was almost like the Colts game of last season. It was like a trap game, but we didn't beat the Colts last season. I know. Sorry to bring it up, but we're looking at a positive here, right? Our offense still has not found each other, but we still squeaked out this game. Last season, we did not squeak out this game. This season, we did. We found a way to win. And Patrick, even though he was not throwing the ball very well, he's making some poor decisions, his legs – he came alive in that fourth quarter. He said, this is over my dead body. I've made enough mistakes. I'm going to go out there and try to win this for the guys. And he went out there and he put on a show with his legs.
I mean, okay. So I do kind of want to talk about the O-line just a little bit.
Yeah.
I will say Patrick wasn't sacked, right? No, he was definitely sacked once.
He was sacked, I think, twice.
He was definitely sacked once.
There was definitely one that was like that. It just collapsed on him. I think that was
Yeah.
Honestly, more on Patrick for not having that awareness, because he always has that awareness. And for some reason, that play, he just let it collapse on him.
There was, he didn't scramble or anything like he
normally did. Just was not like him. But
it was not. I do want to say, though, Trey Smith is the dog. He's really like that. He's really, really good.
Oh my gosh, I love him.
All kind of lanes and all kind of paths for Pacheco. He was really, him and Creed were so good this game on the line.
Yes.
So we still are having our issues with Juwan Taylor. I think it's really unfortunate that in four games he has 10 penalties. That's really frustrating. It's really a momentum drive. It's a momentum killing drive.
It happens at the worst possible times.
Yeah. He has to, you know, in the beginning I was like, so, I mean, his production is still better than Orlando Brown Jr.'s. Yes. But penalty killing drives is not good. Mm-mm. So it's like, you are protecting Patrick, yes. And that is what I am grateful for. Thank you. But these penalties have got to be able to get under control. And you will see that he did line up way further on the line of scrimmage this
game. Yeah, he had no illegal formation penalties, so that's a positive.
It was just holding.
So like the other two, yeah. It's just like real, and I just knew. It's like as soon as they called it, I'm like, I know that's on Juwan.
Yeah, I feel like he gets one every game.
Yeah,
every single game. I feel
like to be like that the entire season.
And it's been on drive killing plays. Like that's when he's holding. It's like he's desperate for this play to take off, and he kills it even more. And it's like, alive, stop holding.
I'm like Andy Reid.
I know.
They're gonna have to give me my Hawaiian t-shirt
and I'm ready to go.
They're gonna have to figure out what that looks like going forward, because there was just a lot going on with the offense. When Pat's out of sync, everybody around him can feel it. So
they feed off his energy,
They do.
And good or bad.
When he's killing it, they're killing it. I think there was a lot going on there. I'm not sure why they felt so off. I don't know why the offense was just not clicking.
A lot of it is they took Travis Kelce out of the game. The Jets did. They found a way to eliminate him from the offense.
They did and they didn't. I was rewatching the All 22 perspective today from NFL Plus, and I was trying to pay attention. There was a play, it was towards the very end of the game, where we were on the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce broke into the middle of the field, was wide freaking open, and Mahomes decides to roll to the right, try to throw it, force it to Rashee Rice on the sideline. And Rashee Rice didn't come down with it. He was close. He didn't come down with it, though.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce was right in the middle of the field, wide open with one defender near him. And he could have easily at least had a first down, nonetheless a touchdown. And that's just like, even Travis, after the play, was just like, oh, and he just gets frustrated, because he's like, I'm wide open. Like, how are you not seeing me over here? And even if Mahomes is rolling to the right like he does, he can throw crossbody. He can throw those crazy throws. We've seen him do it 1,000 times.
It just makes me wonder if he had lost that confidence a little bit. Like, I know he says that he can take things off, but after so many.
But to lose the confidence with Travis Kelce, I'm like, this guy is going to make a play for you.
To be fair, through most of the game, though, he was locked up. He was bracketed. He had 2 and 3 people covering him.
He was wide open.
I mean, I feel like there were a couple plays when people were wide open. There was a play when MVS was wide open.
Yeah.
And he missed him completely. And I was just like, okay, Pat. But again, I think that's him being in his head, because the play that I'm talking about is after he threw 2 interceptions. Yeah. So he's just kind of like, you're wide open and you're down the field, but am I going to chance the safety or someone coming around and getting the pick? And I think he was trying to just be very conservative, which is why we were so run heavy during that game as well.
And I think Patrick has just looked a little conservative all season so far.
I just don't think he fully trusts the wide receivers yet.
He doesn't. Like, not at all. But I don't blame him, right? Because they're barely getting separation. Every time he throws one on the ball, they drop it. Every single time. MVS, huge drop. Rashee Rice, huge drop. Sky Moore, had a drop. I'm like, what is going on? catch the damn ball, like catch the ball. I don't understand. So, and Patrick is not like Andy Reid. I know Andy Reid gives you other chances, but if you don't catch the ball when it's a potential first down, Patrick might not look your way anymore the game.
I know.
That's so unfortunate. Cool. And, you know, I've been hearing a lot of people question just kind of on social media and a few different of like the podcasts that I've been listening to in the last like 24 hours. And they're like, you know, are the Chiefs missing Eric Bieniemy for that reason, for the voice of reason reason? Is, you know, Andy Reid going to tell Patrick, like, dude, it's all right, go back out there and play your game like EB would? And I can see where that could be, you know, something, because EB is the positive, motivating, encouraging one to always keep you going no matter how down and out you are and kind of make you get back on your game regardless of what's going on.
But so, I also think that EB would call you on your crap too.
Absolutely.
Like, he wouldn't let you get away with stuff either.
Actually, I feel like Nagy.
It's not happening either.
Nagy is probably encouraging him, but not calling him on his crap as much.
Yeah,
as
he's almost like in his pocket. That's just Nagy's like the outside perspective. We don't actually know, obviously, right. But it seems like Matt Nagy will just like. He's like,
he's the new
puppy dog that's just like, I'm going to follow you everywhere and I'm going to love you so much no matter what you do. And
sometimes they can use
a little more, not adversity, a little more pushback.
Yeah.
You know, like, EB was always like, Patrick is a competitive, you know what, P-R-I-C-K, right? Yeah. I would never think of Nagy saying, like, hey, Patrick's a competitive, you know what? Like, it just seems like maybe. There's not enough.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's okay because Matt Nagy is good, but he needs to be the one to hold these people accountable. Right. And you better find that voice.
And I mean, you have to adjust throughout the season. That's just, I mean, that's with any team. Every team has turnover. The Eagles had turnover, and maybe that's why they're looking slower to start this season.
Yeah.
I mean, with that's just how the NFL is. You're going to have offensive coordinators leave. You're going to have. Defense, I mean, you're going to have everything change every season. So he just has to adjust to what it is. And maybe we need Nagy to be a little bit more like
EB. He's a jerk. I think and the thing is the play calling is good. I'm fine with play calling. Play calling.
It actually was not bad this week.
I'm not mad at the play calling at all. I've been mad at it all season, just knowing how I know how the Chiefs play.
There was one third and three that they took Kelsey out, and I was like, why the hell did you take Kelsey out on a third and three? Because
I think he might have been tired.
He probably was tired.
Yeah.
probably was tired. Well, and that goes back to 2 weeks ago when we were yelling about the third and one and they threw the ball instead of running the ball and then they quickly made those adjustments. So
yeah,
I think they're slowly learning like who their guys are and what their guys should be.
Yeah.
I do think that they are struggling to figure out the identity of each receiver. Like what your role is going to be on this team. I think they're still trying to figure that out, which is why they look so bad. Because they're like, okay, well, let's do this with you. Let's jet sweep with you. Let's do this with you. And everybody has an independent role. And they haven't figured out what that is yet, which is why they look bad.
So we should talk about that a little bit. Like Justin, so it was Justin Watson, MBS, Sky Moore had a total of what?
Justin Watson, leading receiver.
Yeah. Justin Watson, MBS, and Sky Moore had a total of 120-ish snaps combined.
Correct. In this game. Mm-hmm.
In this game. Yeah, this game. 120-ish snaps combined. They went for 2 for 11 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's MVS had a drop. Rashi Rice had a drop.
I will say, like, when our wide receiver group is struggling at times the way they are, if we're going to be testing everybody out, you know, like, giving this guy a snap, this guy a snap, this guy a snap, this guy a snap, why are we not – saying, you know what, well, let's see what Ross can do. Yeah, like this guy said, like, if we're going to be testing everyone out, why not test a guy that has such high ceiling? Like we've seen Ross, like these catches that Ross can make. Like Rashi Rice is one of our most targeted wide receivers, and he's still rookie. He does have a drop every game that it's normally like his first target he drops, which
I know.
I'm still in high train. It's okay. But like, why not give Ross a try? You know.
So I think a few reasons on that. I think I hate to say this. It feels like they're saving him. It feels like they're saving him because they know what he can do, and they know how big of a player he's going to be in the back half of the year. And I know that's stupid to say, because why would you save somebody when you can go out there and score with this person every single – there's no tape on him. So yeah. I'm just like, And then another piece to it is we see how – so I've always said that I think that Justin is a tight end. I think he could fill into a tight end.
He's like a Jody Fortson type.
How exactly.
Like a hybrid, yeah.
Exactly. And we see our tight ends have been going off this season. They have been really good this season.
Noah Gray with the huge touchdown in this game.
Right? Huge touchdown this game. So it kind of – I think that's where I'm a little baffled, because – Justin Ross could fill in as like that fourth tight end role. You know, we could do the heavier personnel with him on that. So I don't know what the reasoning is. The only thing I can think is they're saving him for the end of the year, which is dumb. I think they're saving him for after the bye week. And I hate that, because he's clearly healthy. He clearly knows how.
Or maybe like the Dolphins game or something. Like,
yeah, but here's the thing. If Patrick and our wide receiver room are already having some chemistry issues, why would you hold a guy out and then throw him in the back half of the season and expect him to be a big time help, you know, like get the chemistry started now.
Not from MVS right now either. I feel.
Yeah. And I feel like MVS tends to be pretty clutch for the most part. Like he has some fantastic catches. I don't know if he's not getting the separation. I don't know if like Patrick just doesn't look his way very much or what. I need to like focus on him more when the ball does not go his way.
That's why I was watching that, like, over the All-22 coverage today. Yeah. Like, you know, there were some plays where he was wide open. There were some where he's heavily covered and struggling to get open a little bit. And so I think it is frustrating, because I think Patrick does trust MVS. I think between him and Justin Watson, they're probably, like, his second most trusted targets.
Yeah.
Aside from Kelsey. But when there were – I mean, there was a play – it was a good first down, and MVS should have held on to it. However, he got hit really, really hard. So it's kind of like it was just like certain things. Like if Sky Moore would have been in the right place to block that other defender from hitting MVS on that same play, he would have had it. But he was hit twice, and so he did end up dropping it. So there's like certain things I think can just be fixed.
Yeah,
like, some of the blockings by other wide receivers, and
like if Sky sees that the ball is short, just coming up a yard or two to get catch, and not just like your defender, like break away from your defender and go
just break.
And I also fully believe that we are playing conservative until we play the tough teams. I don't think Andy is beat.
Oh yeah,
yet.
We're still conservative.
Definitely playing conservative.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I don't think he's going to really break out who this identity of this team is until we get to probably
the Dolphins game
or Miami.
Yeah. Honestly, if he can get away with not opening the playbook too much after that Broncos game, I think he will. I think if he has to
open for sure
that second Broncos game, then he will.
Yeah, I think that's when the second first one, because the second one is on the road, right?
And, I mean, the Chargers
the Broncos game is on the road, so
so it goes Broncos at home, Chargers at home, then Broncos away, and then Dolphins and Dry,
and then the bye,
and then a bye week, and then the Eagles. So then I think that's when you really get creative, and then you have like the Eagles,
that after the bye week is.
Even the Packers, the Patriots defense, they're going to give us some trouble. So
they're going to give us some help. Yeah. Well, and I will say, though, like, I am glad that all of the offensive line issues that we're having, they're happening right now. So we can use that to get better every single week. We didn't even talk about the defense at all. What were y'all thoughts about the defense this game?
So real quick, I was fine with how our corners and our safeties played. I thought that their coverage, they were very –
Trent got burnt.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's gonna happen every once in a while.
My biggest
disappointment was actually with our D line. You know, Chris Jones was getting double and triple teamed, which should have opened up lanes for George Karlaftis or Mike Dana, or you know, any of the other guys out there playing that we kind of expect to go get sacks, Herring, whomever, right? And there was like a couple sacks that George, you know, let Zach Wilson get away. And I don't know. Zach Wilson has been sacked 10 times in 4 games. And I feel like considering how dominant our D-line has been, I expected a lot more out of them. I felt like we did not get as much pressure, especially against a makeshift O-line like the Jets have. I was expecting our D-line to be a lot more dominant than they were. I'm not saying they played poorly, because I still can't be mad that our defense only let up like 20 points or whatever it was. However, I just felt like our D-line wasn't doing our secondary many favors this game. I felt like they were still having, I don't know, I just felt like our secondary was put more of a disadvantage than they had the last 3 games.
Especially against an offense.
Now, I know Zach Wilson had like the game of his life. Like, congratulations, you played fantastic. You know, for the first time this season. But
Nick Bolton is a good piece too. And I'm glad that he didn't, because I want him to get that.
Want him to be healthy. Yeah.
We got the win.
Absolutely.
But I think Nick Bolton and Willie Gay together could have been very dominant.
His absence was much more noticeable.
Willie Gay was fine. You know what I mean? He was kind of everywhere.
That was Drew. I mean, they all were.
Yeah.
Even Leah, I thought Leah Chanel played really well too. But I do feel like Nick Bolton's absence was definitely more noticeable this game than it was against the Bears.
Right. And rightfully so, because the Jets are a better team than the Bears. I get it. And this next week, I really hope Bolton can play this next week, because we're going to need him against that Vikings offense. Because they are I'm not as worried about the Vikings defense, but I'm worried about their offense. So
Justin Jefferson.
I just feel like we expected to see more out of our defensive line this game. I really thought they were just going to feast all over Zach Wilson, because we have not seen much out of their O-line at all. But I do feel like it's a Sunday night football game. The Jets, granted, they had that first week against the Bills that was a primetime game. But overall, the Jets do not play a lot of primetime games at all. And they got a bunch this season because Aaron Rodgers was supposed to be their quarterback. So you're going to see them in a few extra primetime games that may or may not end up getting flexed depending on how they play. But I do feel like, and I hate to even bring it up, but like the Taylor Swift hype, the hype of like Sunday Night Football, and just the disrespect that team was feeling all week of like, the Chiefs are going to stomp you. The Super Bowl champs are going to stomp you. Zach sucks. I mean, it's like the disrespect. I mean, literally from Joe Namath was saying Zach Wilson sucks.
Yeah, that was super uncool.
I think, honestly, I think they took it all really, really personally. And I don't blame them at all. I don't blame them at all for that. And I think they took it very personally. And they were like, you know what? We're going to go out with our best game plan. And that's part of being on the Chiefs right now, and our team, is you're going to get every team's best effort right now.
Literally.
It's been like that for the last 2 years, though. Everybody always plays.
Exactly. I mean, the last few years, So it's not surprising. I'm glad they put up a fight. The Jets did really well. I'm proud of Zach Wilson. I think it sucks the disrespect he's getting. Yeah. And I think he didn't have the accountability last season. He's really done a good job at that this season. Like, you even saw that like sideline clip of him being like, this is my fault, this is on me. And I was just like,
it's football that, you shouldn't have fumbled.
I've had plenty of times to capitalize, and I give them props for putting up the fight, but
the disrespect of Zach Wilson has just been uncalled for, though, because here's the thing. This kid was supposed to be the backup to Aaron Rodgers, and the Jets had zero game plan for what to do if Aaron Rodgers went out. They had no idea what to do. Zach Wilson has had to go out there with the entire stadium booing him, his team not believing in him, and he is having to fight every single game against his team, against his coaches, against the fans, to go out there and try to put on a good game. And I thought he played so incredibly well. And then even after the game, you've got Rodney Harrison being a total you-know-what about him, when I thought there's no room for that after that game. Zach Wilson played his heart out when
he was trying to really –
Now, I'm not having sympathy for a quarterback that fumbled the ball when he could have went and drove the game-winning drive. I'm not having sympathy for that. If it was us, if it was Patrick Mahomes, if it was whatever our backup quarterback's name is, because I can't think of it right now, we would not have sympathy for him. I don't care how much Kansas City media, New York media, I don't care how much they were talking about him. you're getting paid to go do a job. And it's clear that they prepared very hard this week to play against Kansas City. Because we only beat them by 3 points. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, we're about to score, but still. Still. But
this game should have gave him a whole lot of confidence for the rest of this season. This should have probably taught Robert Saleh, like, all right, this dude can go out here and play tough and win games. And, you know, I can't help New York media is being rude to him. Like, his coach needs to stand up for him. The guys in the locker room need to stand up for him. They need to have his back. So it's hard for me to have sympathy when you fumble the ball.
So, yeah.
But that's me. It's football. It's football. So that's me.
Yeah.
I know. Y'all don't agree with me. It's totally fine.
I get what you're saying, though. It's like you don't have sympathy because it is his job. I'm just saying more so I respect the game he went out with and that he actually played pretty decently and people were
excited. He played a hell of a game. I agree.
So yeah, it's your job and you shouldn't fumble and that is on him. So I get what you're saying.
Especially when he played so good the whole entire game. The second and the third quarter, he was like lights out. He had us looking terrible. You know what I mean? So the respect is there. Let's get into week five. We got some good games coming up. We're not going to London, but one of the big games of week five is Jacksonville versus the Bills. The Jags are 2-2. Isn't that great? Bills are 3-1. Rolling. Winning that.
Yeah. I think if we're going to get the same Bills that we've gotten the last 2 weeks, the Jags might be in trouble because they are still kind of like the Chiefs, like the Eagles. They seem to be having a little bit of a hard time finding their identity this season. So we'll see. But
Jacksonville's been there. They haven't had
that's what I was about to say. They don't have to fly again. They're still there. They don't have to acclimate, you know, deal with jet lag and whatnot. So that is going to be good for them. But we'll just see if the Bills show up like they have the last 2 weeks, because they've looked pretty darn awesome the last 2 weeks. So we'll see. I would like Trevor Lawrence to start getting some more touchdowns.
I would like to see the Jags win. And like you said, they do have
The Jags
time zone advantage.
It's like a home game for them. It was so loud in that stadium for them last week.
I know. And they're not, the Jags are not a bad team. I think it'll be a pretty good game. I'm excited to watch how these teams compete against each other just because the last time they played, the Jags shut the Bills down to like 6 points or something crazy when they shouldn't have beat them at all. So I think I'm excited for it. I think it'll be a good matchup. I think it'll probably be like in the 20-30 scoring range. But the Jags, they definitely have some offensive things to figure out. Mm-hmm. But the Jags defense is kind of balling. So
they're getting some pieces back this week that I think will help them a lot.
Yeah.
I think the Jags go out and win it. Just because I think last week's win was really good for them and it kind of got them back on track.
Yeah.
And again, it's like a home game for them. I think they're really well rested, even though I'm sure they're doing a ton of media out there, like the Super Bowl media. It feels like it would be like the same type of hype because you're never in London. But
crazy media. You
know, I think the Jags go out. It's definitely going to be a fight, like you said. I think it's going to be in the 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. Next game, which is probably the biggest game of the weekend, Niners.
Ooh, boy.
4-0 Niners, 3-1 Cowboys. Cowboys should be 4-0.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this game.
This game is going to be so fun to watch. I'm glad that I don't have to stress out during this game. Yeah. this game is going to be fun because the 49ers look fantastic.
They are in like playoff form.
Yeah, they are in playoff form in week five. So, and we've seen a lot of good things come from the Cowboys as well. And we know the Cowboys have a good defense and I don't know. I'm excited for this game. I don't have a lot of thoughts about who I think is going to win this game or whatnot, because I think it's going to be a shootout. I'm excited. I'm excited.
I hope the Niners win.
You want the Niners to go 5-0?
Yeah. I hope the Niners win. I love that CMC, like, just was like, new team, new me with the Niners. He's been.
He definitely was. Yeah.
I think I've read something that said he's had a touchdown in the last 13 games with the Niners. And I'm like, what? In the world? Like, he's really having a fantastic career with them. And that is amazing to see. So, congratulations to CMC. I wish I would have picked him up on any of my.
I know. I usually do, and I couldn't believe I didn't get him in one
league. I think every time I picked him up, he's gotten injured. So I'm like, it's like a snake bit. Like, I'm not going there again.
I definitely got murdered by him in one of my leagues this week. Thank you. But let's get into
the game. He has 4 touchdowns, right? Like, crazy. Yeah, I think that should be a great game. I have no idea who's going to win. I kind of want to see the Niners win like you do, too. But
is that game at noon?
No, it's
that should be Sunday night. Yeah,
Sunday night.
It is Sunday night next week. I don't even know what time we play, but we got Chiefs Vikings this week going to Minnesota. Kirk Cousins and crew. What are y'all thoughts about going into this game this week?
I expect our defense to look just fine. I think our defense can handle the O-line for the Vikings is so bad. They're not good. Kirk Cousins has the worst job in the United States, the worst job in the world. Honest to God, he just gets pummeled week after week after week. But part of that is he sits in the pocket so long waiting for Justin Jefferson to get open that it's just like, okay, well, I'm going to get pummeled, but I got to get Justin the ball. So I think if our D-line can get a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins, then our secondary is going to be able to stick to Justin Jefferson. I'm not saying Justin Jefferson's not going to do this, but I think that we've proven we can stick with some really good wide receivers. So as long as our D-line and our linebackers can get pressure on the ball, on the quarterback, I think we'll be fine. Now for our offense, I need to see our offense look in sync. I don't want to be going into week 6, week 7, week 8, wondering, hey, is our offense ever going to have a complete game? Are we ever going to have a game where we can play 3 quarters? Like, I want at least 3.5 quarters of consistent football from our offense. That's what I'm asking for. Like, that's what I need to see. So our run game, really, Pacheco played fantastic this past week, 158 yards and a touchdown. I love that our running game is really starting to balance it out. I just need to see our wide receivers and our quarterback look like they have chemistry and look in sync this week. That's what I need to see.
Yeah. And I think the Vikings, I was talking to some Vikings fans this week, and like, I think their biggest weakness on defense is their secondary, their cornerbacks. So this would be a great week for our offense and our receivers to make a statement. Like you said, make a name for themselves, have some consistency. I think it'll be a really good opportunity for them to do that.
Their secondary definitely played soft against the Panthers. It was not good.
Yeah, the Panthers aren't even good. So
we'll say their defense their O line is terrible, so it doesn't matter. But they have 5 sacks on Bryce Young, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Panthers offensive line is horrible. And then Bryce Young also doesn't really
really bad.
Bryce Young also is not great in the pocket right now, and it's different than Patrick Mahomes. So, but I also think, like you said, like especially your interior offensive line is just not great. So I feel like Chris Jones could have, like, he needs to have himself one of those great career games, and I feel like this could be one of those for him.
Yeah, and I'm hoping he's on less of a snap count. I know we've still been limiting his snaps, and I know he has that groin injury that he's dealing with.
At 75% of snaps.
Yeah. So. We need more snaps for sure.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, do we right now?
I think he would like more snaps.
Getting there, yeah.
I know that he would like more snaps, but
he wants it because he wants to get paid.
But we'll have another piece next week, right? Omenihu, doesn't he come back week 6 or is it week 7?
He'll be back week 7.
Okay.
Week 6,
so, I mean, we'll have another piece then too.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I'm hoping that, you know, our defense, they should be able, if the Panthers can get 2 sacks on Kirk Cousins and 2 interceptions, there's no reason why we should not be able to go out and do the exact same thing. You should be able to for sure get the anytime pick on Kirk Cousins.
I really, really want to see us get a turnover, like an interception, because I feel like we should have had one against Zach Wilson. You know, Tershawn Morton.
A fumble. It's just, I've been waiting for this defense to, like, I think that was the biggest thing last year. Our defense was good last year, but they were not getting any turnovers. They weren't getting.
That's the problem. Yeah.
They were only getting pressures. And last week, we didn't see a ton of pressure from them. So, like, this week, it's like, all right, like, last week was cute. But this week, it's like, I really need y'all to get to.
And I need you to get it together.
But I think Spags is dialing it up correctly. I just think that they're just.
I do, too. They're just not getting the. But.
Could also be, though, because every single week we've had somebody miss too. So every week since we play football, we've had somebody missing on the defense. And look, honestly, we've had two people missing with Charles Omenihue being out. So it's like, I feel like for sure once we get to that week 7 when we're against the Chargers at home, then it's going to be like, okay, like, let's see who this team really is.
So far, we've just had the Mike Edwards interception, right?
We have an interception week 2, right?
We've had
some recoveries.
We've had some turnovers by our defense for sure.
I'm talking actual interceptions, not turnovers.
I don't think that was
our first interception. No. Pretty sure we've had more than one.
I will say though, Tershawn Morton.
Oh, we have only two.
Tershawn Morton this past game had a really beautiful fumble recovery.
Yeah, he had a fumble recovery.
That was beautiful.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was heads up. That was heads up football for sure.
But we should be able to go into Mike Edwards this week, right? We should be able to. I don't know.
I feel like Brian Cook got an interception.
How long did I give the offense? I gave them until week 6 to get it together.
We have to give the offense time too. Everyone's always saying, give the defense. There's so many new pieces. Guys, the offense is all new. Give them some time.
I can't remember how long I gave them before the season started.
We've only had the one, and it was Mike Edwards last week.
No.
He was the one last week.
I would like some more interceptions then.
Interceptions are great. I would like to see some more fumble recoveries, some more sacks. I want to see pressure. I want to see the quarterback running for his life every single possession.
I want to see more losses, like loss of yards.
If you're creating that pressure, then it's going to create the interception, the turnover.
And it's frustrating. Like, George Karloftis had probably 2 missed sacks last week. Did we touch on Isaiah Pacheco and his like freaking insane?
Yeah, I said I loved that we got a run game with 100. He had 158 yards and a touchdown.
New Jersey boy, I just loved that for him. He did so well this last week.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Keep that energy.
So, I think that for me, we can get into score prediction now, what we think the score prediction will be for this game, who wins, who doesn't. The Chiefs, of course, back at the top of the AFC with being 3-1, tied with 3 other teams, which I know is the Bills, and I can't really think of the Ravens. Dolphins. I can't think of who the other 3-1 teams are.
Dolphins, Ravens,
Dolphins, Ravens. Okay, yeah. So, 4-way tie for first place, which, praise the Lord. Chiefs
are technically at the top because we haven't lost in our division yet.
And correct. The other ones. So, that is why those 3 division games are important. I do think that there is a possibility that something strange could happen and we could lose one of those games. But as of right now, I have a sweeping. The only reason why I think that is because it's those 3 games back to back to back.
Like a phantom game.
Back to back to back.
I don't either. I don't like it.
Who was your
trap game? This person said it.
Trap game.
That's the word.
Thank you. I'm like, you know, what is it called when they
trap game?
Sketchy.
Yeah.
Sketchy.
Yeah.
What's your score prediction this week? Who do you think wins?
I think Chiefs win 28-14.
Oh.
I'm going for it. I don't think Patrick's going to let the offense look like that again.
I'm feeling more like 27-21.
Yeah. I'm feeling 27-24.
Oh, yeah. I like mine better.
It's going to be another Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson and Mattson are really freaking good. They are really good.
Our defense. We're going
to
be
just. I think our run game is going to get tested this week for sure to see what that run game defense looks like.
Yeah.
Because Mattson is really, really freaking good. I think, yeah, I have us winning between like.
He's good. All right. He had those turnovers. So if we could create some turnovers with him, that would be wonderful.
We get pressure on Kirk Cousins, we'll be fine. We'll have a hard time scoring if we get pressure on Kirk Cousins, guarantee you. Yeah.
I think he'll have two turnovers for sure, whether it's an interception or a fumble. Yeah.
I am most confident in this game than I have been in any other game this season. I honestly feel like if our D-line gets pressure, that game is ours. No questions asked. That is the key to the game, is D-line getting pressure on Kirk Cousins.
He goes into panic mode, that is for sure.
Yeah.
He definitely goes into panic mode and just throws the ball. Patrick Mahomes was looking a little Kirk Cousins-ish last week with just throwing the ball and getting intercepted. So,
yeah.
No.
Not a fan of that. Yeah, I mean, hopefully we come out of this game 4-1 and somebody loses the game that they shouldn't, like, you know, the Bills. In the race.
Yeah, I just also feel like the Vikings are, they're on a mission to win some games. So,
are they really?
Heck yeah, they've lost. They're only 1-3.
James Pettis, come on over, baby.
They have too much offensive talent to be this.
To the Chiefs 2024.
Yeah. Come on over, baby.
I hope it's not a stressful game. I hope it's a fun, good win. But
it better not be, because I have to leave halfway through to go play soccer. So
I think a ton of Chiefs fans are traveling to Minnesota because it's very close to Kansas City.
Yeah, that's not a bad drive at all. Go to Mall of America.
Yeah, I can name probably like 7 or 8 people going to the game. So I do think that this is going to be almost like a home game environment. I think a lot of people
notice
be the home of the Mighty Ducks in Gordon Bombay.
All of our away games this season so far, all two of them.
All
two of them have been very Chiefs heavy.
Absolutely. We travel. We're Super Bowl champions.
Very much so.
All right. Super Bowl champions. All right. Well, let's get into the sponsors and let's get out of here. Did we have a contest win this week?
Yes. So we had two. One for the seltzer and then one for the poster and flag.
Oh, okay.
For the seltzer, we have Matt C. from KC.
Woo!
Matt C. from KC.
I love it.
Username.
Oh, my God.
And then for the, hang on 1 second.
As she digs in her nose.
It was Lacey Lynn, I believe is her name. Lacey Lynn for the awesome portrait of Patrick Mahomes and a Chiefs flag. So,
and Lacey wanted you to know her address is actually my address. So just, you know, Lacey, I'm just kidding. It's just such a cool picture. I'm so jealous.
Lacey's actually not a real person. It's Chrissy.
It's my burner account.
I got Lacey.
I don't have a burner account. I'm not cool enough for a burner account.
And then Matt C. from KC. So I'll go tag them both on Kingdom Queens for their prizes after this podcast.
Shout out to them. Shout out to the sponsor, King Seltzer, the first Black-owned sponsor in the United States. 95
Calories. Sponsor.
Black-owned sponsor or seltzer?
Seltzer, Black-owned seltzer
in the United States. Yes, let's go.
95 calories.
Bragging about them today.
All fruit, no artificial intelligence. Wow.
Oh my God.
No artificial ingredients.
What is happening?
Very clean and refreshing. You can just drink it out the can, or you can look out the can, or you can drink it on ice, or you can mix it, make it a big cocktail. I will say I had it with red wine the other day. Don't ask. It was delicious.
Oh.
Yeah. Like you mixed them together?
I was watching the Chiefs game and I needed something stronger.
Comes like a sparkling wine.
It was very sparkling. It was like a sparkling wine. It was delicious. It was
very sparkling.
Sounds really good, actually. That's yeah. more right up my alley, you know?
It was really, really good. And I did it with rosé, too. Anyway, this doesn't matter.
But it's delicious is the point we're trying to get across.
Right. It's delicious. Really delicious. You can pick it up in Kansas City at 13 different places, including Border Brewery down in the Crossroads. Go pick up a six-pack of King Elsa.
Today. Oh my God. Or tomorrow, because it's pretty late already. So,
well, yeah. They're open till 9. Either way.
They're open till 9. But yeah, that's all I got. Chiefs win for sure. They bring home the dub.
We got it. And it's
it together.
I'm knocking on wood for all that. Sorry.
I think it's Travis Kelce's birthday this week. That's Travis Kelce's birthday this week, too. So he's got to get a W for his birthday.
Oh, God. I just pray that Taylor Swift.
First win.
You know what the most annoying thing about the Taylor Swift thing last week? They go, the Chiefs are 2-0 with Taylor Swift being there. I'm like, we were going to beat the Jets, guys. Like, calm down.
We're going to be 2-0 anyway, dang it.
Calm the heck down, okay? Relax.
You need to calm down.
You need to calm down. You're being too loud. Sound just like her, you know?
Yeah, it's absolutely wild, all the Taylor Swift stuff. But I did love having Ryan Reynolds there, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, I care about them.
Celebrity, appearance.
Blake Lively holding the head. I've never felt so seen in my life when she's jumping up and down like this. I'm like holding my. I felt so seen. I was like, that's
I do want to say, I want to say quick props to Blake Lively and Taylor Swift for doing Home of the Chiefs at the end of the national anthem.
Yeah, they
and
were into that. It.
They're one of us. I love it. I support it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes friendship. I'm here for that. For
yeah. Sure. And I want people to stop hating on Brittany. Okay.
Stop hating on Brittany.
She has done nothing wrong. Leave her alone.
She's the queen. They're always going to hate on Brittany.
Well, you know what? It's not cool. She hasn't done anything wrong.
She's not worried or bothered about the people either, clearly.
No, I love it.
No.
I love it. We love
but
it.
You know what? All you Brittany haters, now we got bad blood. All right.
That's true.
And I don't think we can.
Get us out of here.
All right. Well, guys,
with a bow.
Let's package this up with a bow and some sparkles. All right. All right. Chiefs play on Sunday. Big game against the Minnesota Vikings with two very dynamic wide receivers. Let's see if our defense can hold on, and let's see if our offense can show up. So, all right.
please
show up. I only put on my sweatshirt halfway through the Chiefs game this Sunday, and as soon as I put it on, we got the fumble recovery. So that was my fault. So sorry, y'all. I won't do it again. But let's go out there. Let's kick some butt, and let's go to 4-1. All right. So until next time.
Oh, ghetto, not being undefeated this early in the year.
What?
It's so ghetto not being undefeated this early in the year.
Well, I mean, not. There's only two teams. It's only the Eagles and the Niners.
Three last year, but
two
still.
Teams.
Like, no. Three. Yeah. And we're like 0-1. What? Gross.
I'm fine with 4-1. I'm okay with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm
3-1, not 4 yet.
3-1.
Soon to be 4.
4. Coming soon. Count your days, Minnesota. Count your days, Minnesota.
Count them.
4. All right. See you next week, guys.